Hey there, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Emily. Today is episode 40, and I cannot believe it. It's 40. Today, my editor Daniel and I are sharing some of our favorite shit, and that's just what it is. But before we jump into some of our favorite shit, I wanted to share a big announcement with you because here on the podcast, we are family. And my immediate family and I are moving this month. And that is why all of July is going to be different types of content that I am very excited to share with you. But no late breaking episodes because I am going to be on the road moving out of state. And if you want to know more about why we're leaving California, where we're even going to anyway, and all of the things, come follow along with the adventure on Instagram. I am at the Emily D. Baker. Because there's only one of this, bitch. Yes, I really do talk like that in my real life. My mother is probably mortified right now. Sorry, Mom. And I know she listens. Love you, Mom. So, let's jump in to some of our favorite shit. Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. So his review was not tremendously inflammatory. His review was not tremendously angry. It was fairly factual, in my opinion. And he ended that saying, my dog deserved a better last day than what he had because of all of these factors that led to him passing. Actually, you know what? Emily, just read them the review and let them decide for themselves. His Yelp review was, the staff wasted 6 hours of Rembrandt's life and destroyed whatever chance he may have had to live. Our Rembrandt deserved a better last day. I agree with Tom. But I also don't find this review defamatory, inflammatory, name-calling. And at the end of the day, the poor man's dog died. That's a traumatic life event. And he still wrote a factual review. They said they were going into surgery. 6 hours later, they still hadn't. If they had said, we're not going into surgery now, we can't find a surgeon, this is urgent, you probably want to take him somewhere else, he might have had a different chance. So what did this animal hospital do? Well, they sued his ass. Yep, let that sink in for a minute. Over that review that I just read you, they sued him, which left him with $26,000 in legal fees to fight the lawsuit. $26,000 in legal fees. They wasted 6 hours. His freaking dog died. And he ended up with $26,000 in legal fees fighting this lawsuit. Because at the end of the day, how do you give in to a lawsuit like that? You're right. Factual, truthful reviews should be protected. Hotels should not be able to put clauses in that say, oh, by the way, if you leave us a negative review, you can be sued, because it's just awful and gross. I'm actually really impressed that the FTC took it upon themselves to pass an act to A, forestall some of this bullshit, and B, to allow consumers, I mean, that's their whole gig, right? To protect consumers, but to allow consumers to continue to honestly share factual reviews. So at the end of the day, if you have a miserable experience with a business and you want to leave a Yelp review, I would write it out first. I would sit on it for a day or two, and then I would take it down to just the facts. Because at the end of the day, truth can be a defense. 2013, this DJ dude, DJ David Mueller, gropes Taylor Swift's ass. She immediately reports it to her security team. When she testifies later, she says she froze in the moment because she couldn't believe it. She lurched to the side away from him. And when you see the picture, you can see her uncomfortably kind of canting away from him with this kind of shocked look on her face. And she tells her security team, they tell the radio station, KYGO Radio, and he's terminated for the incident 2 days after the incident happens. So she immediately reported what happened. His company immediately terminated him. And this is June, this matters, but this is June 2013. September 2015, yeah, let that sink in. September 2015, this dude sues Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sues her. He sues her for defamation to the tune of $3 million, claiming that he lost his job and other prospective business opportunities because of her allegations against him. Taylor Swift says in Miss Americana that there were 7 people who saw the incident and there's a photo of it while it happened. So, you know, not defamation, just reporting that you grabbed my ass, really, from her perspective. October 2015, Swift countersues Mueller. So this is now in a civil court. She did not go to criminal court and say this ass grab was a criminal sexual assault. She told the radio station they fired him. I'm sure in her mind, she was like, done. Don't have to see this person again. He was banned for life from Taylor Swift concerts. So I don't have to see this human again. He's been fired. It's done. I'm not going to go to the police. We don't need to take it to court. It's over. Until he decides to sue her. Look, sometimes y'all got to leave well enough alone. And this is one of those times. Dude should have left well enough alone. But no, Taylor Swift's growing in popularity. It's 2015. I'm going to sue her for $3 million. He probably hoped that she would be silenced by this and just pay him some money to go away. And how glad are we as humans that Taylor was like, oh, yeah, fuck you. You're not going to sue me for defamation for telling your employer that you grabbed my ass, asshole. What happened that led to this lawsuit, you may ask? Well, great question. This student downloaded TikTok. You don't have to create an account when you download TikTok. You can download and start watching videos without having a user account, right? Because they want to hook you. But you can't upload or post any videos on the platform until you have a user account. She downloaded the app, watched some videos. Emily assumes that she went, this shit is stupid. And then stopped, didn't create an account, and didn't take it any further with TikTok. Well, she's alleging in this lawsuit that TikTok took it upon themselves to create an account, start tracking her data, tracking her location, tracking her phone number, and collating that data in computer databases in China. Right. Now, just because I didn't mention it earlier, we are talking about a company that is estimated at the end of last year to be worth between $75 and $78 billion. Right. TikTok has been installed by over 564 million users and has increased in use about 1.4 billion times since it launched. The new US users on TikTok grew over 38% to 11.6 million at the end of last year. So this is a pervasive app, and this is a company that is making crap tons of money. Like, to put this in perspective, the company that runs TikTok is estimated to be worth about $75 billion. The Walt Disney Company is around $130 billion. So hopefully that gives some perspective on how profitable your data is, because it's not the videos that are profitable. It is the ads served up to you based on your data. That's what's valuable. You are the commodity that TikTok is riding on. we're not going to talk about whether you're the commodity that Disney is cashing in on. Because at least in Disney, I get to go on Star Wars rides and eat churros, okay? TikTok, I waste 2 hours and then feel bad about myself. And then I have to go on Instagram and share what I've done and go, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm on TikTok, but I love it, but I don't, but I do. When you take all those circumstances together, plus his own words, it's going to be very hard for a jury to look away from that. And then you add the tiger killing on top of it. So they dug up tigers that he had euthanized on his property, which is illegal under the Endangered Species Act. So they added all those too. So now you've got somebody who has or is being shown to in court murder tigers, and you're saying that he hired someone to murder a woman who he says he wants dead to everyone who will listen and depicts killing on the internet. It's really hard for a jury, once again, to not convict on that. Does the Netflix documentary make you feel bad for Joe Exotic in that circumstance? Did you watch that and go, wow, maybe he was framed? Interesting, isn't it, that a lot of us felt that way about Joe Exotic, but when it comes to Carole Baskin, we're like, that bitch killed her husband. Isn't it funny how the show winds us through those feelings? And maybe you didn't have them and you were like, look, Carole is just trying to live her best and this guy's railing about her on the internet and no one should do the things that he's doing, which, by the way, I agree with. However, the way that that series was put together left me feeling like Joe had completely unraveled and that the people around him had taken advantage of him. And I also walked away feeling like if I hear Hey Cool Cats and Kittens, I'm going to want to punch somebody in the face, because I also walked away feeling like Carole Baskin was a dick. So yet it's interesting to me that in all of the lawsuits and the criminal case, Carole Baskin is the victim in those things. If somebody was doing what Joe Exotic was doing to her, to one of your friends, you would be fucking outraged. You would be like, how dare you pretend to murder someone on the internet? How dare you take a blow up doll of them and stick dildos in its mouth? How dare you blow it up with TNT? Yet somehow in the Netflix documentary, you're like, yeah, but maybe she killed her husband. It's so fascinating to me how the dialogue changed in Tiger King around this murder for hire plot. Because you could tell this story differently and be like, oh my God, how did Carole Baskin live through this? Joe's crazy. But instead, a lot of us are left with the, you know what, Carole Baskin? You shook the fucking hornet's nest and you knew that Joe was crazy. But Carol's also a little crazy, obviously. And the narrative about her killing her husband is so interesting to me. There's a part in the show where Joe gets attacked in a tiger enclosure by one of his own tigers and shoots the tiger to get the tiger off of him. And it's like dragging him away by the shoe. And he's arguing that somebody put pheromones or whatever it was on his shoe to get the tiger, to induce the tiger to attack him. And when they asked Carole Baskin about it, she said something to the effect of, oh no, I mean, perfume wouldn't work. Cats don't like the smell of perfume. If you want to get a tiger to eat someone, you need to cover them in something the tigers want, like sardine oil. That's awfully specific, Carole. That is awfully specific, because it doesn't sound to me like that's what you're doing to get these tigers to take their medication. It sounds to me like maybe you have experience with getting tigers to eat someone, Carole Baskin. I'm just saying. If you're not from California and you didn't grow up in the 90s, you might not understand that dude is very similar to the word fuck in that it can be used for everything. You can have entire conversations completely derived of the word dude. And my high school bestie and I used to do it frequently and loudly down the halls of our high school and could still have an entire conversation around the word dude, except that conversation now would go like, dude. And then it'd be like, dude. Then you'd be like, fuck, dude. And then she'd be like, yeah, dude. And then we'd both go, dude, I won't get started on the other stuff we used to scream at each other at loud volumes in public places with no shame. Look, man, my friends were in band. I was in band. Yes, I played water polo. The guys who played water polo, some of them were pretty cool. Some of them were dorks. But I was the only girl on the men's water polo team. There was no cool factor in that at all for anyone. So the people, my people, were the band geeks. We were nerds. We gave no fucks. We screamed things loudly. Either way, I don't know why. Visco girls. I was talking about Visco girls and scrunchies. That's not the point. Home ec. Sewing. Who knew basic life skills would be needed? Like, it's not just the computer skills. You actually need to be able to cook for yourself and know how to clean your bathroom without, like, blowing something up or inhaling toxic fumes. Not that that will stop you from thinking injecting toxins is a good idea. And I'm not talking about heroin. I'm talking about Clorox and Lysol because people are stupid. But we're not going to go there. We're just not going to go there. Because I can't with this. It's too fucking stupid. So Zoom, no shade to Zoom. Zoom is being investigated for security shortfalls. Part of that might be because on April 3rd, a House of Representatives Oversight Committee got Zoom bombed. When you're hacking into the government Zooms, like, do you know you're hacking into the government Zoom, or are you just Zoom bombing links and then you realize it's a government oversight committee and go, oh shit, we Zoom bombed Congress? But if you're Zoom bombing Congress, it's a problem. It's not just, it's happened in my elementary school. I'm sure you've heard the stories, or it's happened to your school, that Zoom is just getting massively attacked. But Zoom is not the only business that is getting hacked right now. And I think it's in the news because, you know, oh, kids are being shown porn. Not to downplay how distressing that can be, but kids have seen penises or vaginas. They have them. They look at them. I mean, I know it's distressing. This is, look, in the time of a global pandemic, the most distressing thing for your child is not going to be the fact that somebody may or may not have Zoom bombed one of their school calls for a few brief moments. That's not going to be the thing that's causing damage right now. So I don't mean to downplay. I know that it's stressful, but Zoom bombing is a problem. It's happening in business meetings, what have you. And if you're like, Emily, why have you not told me what Zoom bombing is? I have not heard of this. People are hacking into Zoom meetings, getting onto the screen and either screaming obscenities. Some of them are screaming racial slurs, showing pornography, showing other types of like videos, trying to take over file sharing, those sorts of things. So your Zoom call will get breached by an outside party. It's like somebody running into your meeting at your office naked and screaming, which would be, actually, if you were in a really boring meeting, could be a nice break from the usual. But most people don't run into elementary schools naked, screaming, hopefully. Speaking of cultural shifts, let's talk about a bunch of rich people bribing their kids way into college. This shit is not okay. It made me so mad, you guys. And if you've followed me on social media for any period of time when the college admissions scandal broke, I'm sure you saw me ranting about it on the regular. It's been almost a year now since this all kind of went down, came to light, was a thing. But the college admissions scandal pissed me off. Like, it struck all of the nerves, and it brought up so many questions of privilege, of access to higher education, of, you know, just obscene wealth. It also triggered like a hellfire rage in me against the culture of lawnmower parenting, which is something that you've heard me rail against and that I even struggle with in myself. And this is the gross outcome of extreme lawnmower parenting. I will describe lawnmower parenting in brief. It is not just hovering over your child so nothing happens. It is removing every obstacle in their way. Like you have a lawnmower and you just mow a clear path for them so that no obstacles are encountered. They have no trouble. Everything is just clean, freshly mowed, laid out grass, which is hugely detrimental to the ability of children to function as adults, to meet their own problems, and to feel that sense of accomplishment when they do something. And you see it in little kids when they figure something out. You see the joy and the accomplishment. You also see how hard it is when they're learning to walk and they cry and they get frustrated when they can't fit shapes together or blocks together. And they learn to manage frustration by, you know, encountering obstacles and then figuring out a solution to overcome those obstacles. When you remove all the obstacle, you are actually psychologically damaging your child as they are trying to develop. They need to learn how to meet tasks and obstacles and overcome them while managing their own frustration. Yes, it's our job to guide them. No, it's not our job to hand them everything. Thanks for sticking around for today's episode. For episodes like this and conversations like this, come join us in the Facebook community. The Get Legit community is where we discuss the episodes, where I answer your questions, and we have an opportunity to take a deeper dive in a respectful, conversational environment. The Get Legit community is on Facebook. There's a link down below, or you can go to getlegitlive.com. I'll see you on the inside.